Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Good morning, 401k lovers.
Mike, what I love about you is you're so inclusive. Some shows don't even apply to the 401k lovers, and yet here we are embracing them.
But I will tell you that, I was always able to look the other way, and now I'm not. So now I'm freaking out like everybody is. I have gotten back to doing something I really had skillfully avoided, which was watching the news. And just watching the talking heads, and it was it's a little disconcerting,
Who was the talking head that presented it to you best,
and
who
was the Trump one that administration hurt? Official, John Bolton, who was a hawk kind of international
guy.
And then a financial guy, and I've been watching a lot of these financial guys talking about, what's going on with tariffs. And, what I didn't look at was Temu, our favorite Chinese company, to see if overnight, starting at midnight, that the tariffs had kicked in. Or
no, I've still got my siren in my shopping cart at the same price. So that's going to be my level of demarcation.
Well, they wouldn't change it probably if you had your... your original price. I don't think they do that.
Oh, I do. Are you kidding?
No. It's something that you've already paid for it. You see?
No. It's in my cart. I haven't paid for it.
Oh, you haven't?
I haven't pulled the trigger yet on the giant siren.
So it's just strange times we live in. Before we get started on this, I want to alert everybody that Rob and I will be talking about the White Lotus. So if you have not, like I have, and the boys honored my wishes by not really diving into the White Lotus, we will be diving in today.
Yes.
A fair warning. That will contain spoiler alerts because I finally logged some time with it, and then I read everything.
A wonderful use of 2 hours, I'm sure, when you watch that episode. Have you watched Gemstones this week?
I don't watch that show. No, I don't.
I recommend you watch it this week. It's
no,
pretty good.
I can't. Once I bail, I bail.
You bailed on Lotus, and you came right back. It's
gross. The Gemstones is too gross for me. It really
it's not
is.
Gross this week.
It's not.
It's funny.
It's funny.
Mike,
now,
what is funny is
you hit me yesterday to the Jack Black Saturday Night Live.
It was
sketch.
The best episode in a long time.
Well, Jack Black is perfect for sketch comedy, and his Flaming Hot commercial was really beautifully done. But by the way, you could couldn't you make a case for pre-done sketches, like pre-done video presentations?
The filmed pieces, yeah.
I think you could retool Saturday Night Live and just take the live element out of it. Just come in and have a host do a monologue, and then you could have Weekend Update. That would be the live component.
All right.
And then the musical artist could be the live component, and then the rest could be just interspersed with produced videos.
You see, but really then you've got Mad TV. It's the
which
thing
which was better than Saturday Night Live.
This
for
is
a
what
long
separate.
Time.
This is what separates it is that there is no entertainment show going live anymore of that magnitude, and it is in its own way a throwback. But right. There's things that happen when you're watching live TV, like there was a sketch during the news this week where Ego Nwodum came out and was going to do something that
Who?
Seemed Ego Nwodum. She's
Egon,
very funny.
Egon Nwodum?
Ego. E-G-O. Nwodum.
Ego Nwodum?
N-W-O-D-I-M, I think. Ego Nwodum.
You are a Saturday Night Live aficionado if I'm supposed to, know that.
But anyway,
name.
I'm just
Does
telling
anybody
you.
Know him? Well, hold on. Does
no,
anybody know
she.
Him?
No, it's a she.
Who are we talking about?
She's the very attractive African-American female cast member.
Well, obviously,
did
not
you see?
A,
did you
a
see the sketch?
Name yet.
Well, did you see the sketch where she was like from somewhere around Sacramento, and she kept messing up the dinner table by slamming her
no,
hand?
See,
and,
I mean, you dive in with both feet every week. I don't. I look at some of the highlights that are.
All right.
There,
well,
but I'll take your
Ego.
Word for it,
beside too. The point, she's very good.
Is her real name Ego?
I don't know. I think so. Would you choose Ego as a name?
if I was a comedian who was trying to make a name for herself.
She came out and started to do, she started very straight-laced, and then what was funny, it was a shot you don't see very much. She went out in front of the update desk, so you could see Michael Che and Colin Jost behind her, and okay. She did an over-the-top stand-up routine. It was horrible, but that was the joke. And her catchphrase was, "I don't take no mess," or something like that. And she was assuming the audience would play along. And she says, "I don't take no." And then the audience, like it was rehearsed, all said the S word. And it was so surprising and funny. And to see both anchors react to it behind her and to see her react to it. And she says, "Oh, Lauren's not going to like that." But that couldn't. And then on the West Coast feed, they bleeped it. So it's gone. So the whole notion of the spark of a magical live moment, if you take that away, that's part of the show for me. I like that.
Yeah, but you will admit the show more often than not misses.
Yeah. There's, you know what? I've gotten to the point where update normally does it for me and usually one sketch. But and I almost never watch the musical guest. Because I've not heard.
I watched it last week. Right?
Yeah, both of them. Yeah, it was great.
Wow.
But so good. And wasn't it neat to see them set up in such a way that they were like
an old man. I mean, he really is every bit an old man, and still got it done. And I finally watched your recommended
Elton John and Brandi Carlile.
Just really, really
terrific. I love the fact that they had all the instruments, including a full grand piano, jammed into a small set.
They really did a great job.
They did a fine job. Yeah, I really liked it.
It was a throwback. It was a throwback in so many ways. The ability of these performers, to do such a great job on stage, and because that's what they do.
Yeah.
With Elton John, so many concerts.
Did you notice how small his hands were?
Well, he just looks he looks more elfin-like as he gets older. He really does with that. But so the spoiler alert has gone out for that, and I will say that The White Lotus, of all the television shows that people are talking about, that's the top of the page.
Yeah, and it's sort of sunk into the public consciousness. It felt like a guilty secret pleasure, like season one, when the guy actually defecated into a suitcase.
Oh, my God, that's right. That was season one, and that's what, that's what was water cooler talk for everybody.
Yeah, and so it's almost like now that White Lotus is a popular thing, it's not as good anymore. And I guess
I think season three, the pacing of season three was just so glacial.
Exactly.
And it was so difficult to just week after week after week wait and wait and wait. And then they didn't need to do that. You could have done the last three, maybe even the last four episodes, you could have done more with buttoning up a storyline. Instead,
what they did,
they all had to be buttoned up at the end of the season, and it was forced and badly done. In my opinion,
I think it was eight episodes this season. So let's just call it 8 hours
it was
of programming.
Eight episodes. Yep.
They could have done it in three, and here's one of the ways you could have done it. First, totally get rid of the three ladies storyline. It didn't advance anything. I understand that the whole notion of the ostensibly least attractive of the three says she's happy to be part of, just to be at the table.
Yeah.
That's thematic, sure, but it doesn't advance anything. Get rid of
them. But as far as the real moment and the body count, which was ridiculous, and I always get Sam Shepard and Sam Shepard and the other old guy that played the heavy that Walton Goggins was trying to kill.
It's
Sam Shepard, I think, was the guy that I always got him confused with. And it just to me was so forced and so disappointing.
No payoff. And also, this is really splitting hairs, but I need to have a talk with the older Asian lady. She's wonderful, beautiful singer, and I'm sure quite the catch in her day. But the line read is not what she did. What she did was, "He is your father." The line read should be, he is your father.
Or he is your father.
Oh, yeah, but that's what loss. It was so anticlimactic with her.
But I mean, get to the. What could you have done with that if you took a, you know, and dropped that 3 episodes ago and buttoned it up? It just was silly.
Yeah.
And it was.
They almost did something good with the family. They got really close to making me really into what was going to go on with the family. I was rooting for the mass suicide.
You were? That's
yes.
Weird. I wasn't.
Really? You didn't want them to drink that drink?
Too much. No, I was invested in the characters. And then I was very sad about the son, and then they bring him back from the dead. It was just, oh,
he saw God. And
it
how about this?
So you, weird.
You did all not expect the daughter of that family to also be as horrible as the rest of the family.
Materialistic?
Yes. Yes.
Look, the whole thing. Well, the whole thing had that theme where everybody was materialistic.
Yeah.
Except for the people that died.
Yeah. Well, you know, Mantok, he was only materialistic because he was forced to, because the lady was yelling at him. He still did not want to shoot Walton Goggins.
Yeah.
And she was screaming at him. But he was materialistic.
He certainly reaps the rewards of now he's her bodyguard at the end of the show.
Chauffeur, and I think he's banging Mook.
You said it when your little TikTok yesterday when you were you know, missing out on your frozen drinks, that unrewarding would be how I... Because it didn't need to be. It was like they waited way... Like the whole episode was... the whole season was a tease.
Yeah.
And then we're going to button it all up. I thought the whole thing was misguided. I thought it was too much, too much, too much. And too much attention, too much fame, and just...
still a beautiful show. Better. That's the one thing I can't take away from it. It's a beautiful looking show.
But would you not agree that, yes, we get it, that the island in Thailand is beautiful, but how many establishing water shots or shots of monkeys...
Monkey shots, yeah.
...can we get during even the last episode? It's like you had someone saying it would be a cliche. I bet that was discussed a lot. Oh, that's a cliche.
Yeah, yeah.
We don't want to do a cliche. We don't. And then there was
cliches
much of that that
happen because usually they're good. There's a reason they become cliches.
And they didn't have any way to wrap things up without the massive body count. And even
and we
Walton
all knew something
hold on
was
a second.
Coming.
Even Walton Goggins. Floating in the water at the end looked phony. It just was.
Well,
was
I realized that he had to have been supported from below to float that precisely with his face out of the water. Also horrified when I read some stuff about this is that Walton Goggins is a few years younger than me. That's
really
horrifying to me.
Well, have you? He's in better shape than you.
Well, certainly, but also when they do him up old, like
Uncle Baby
Billy.
Did you think he'd be older?
I thought he would be a little older than me. But maybe it's because I'm envisioning Uncle Baby Billy makeup.
Early 50s?
I think he's 52 or 3,
52 or 3?
Yeah. Didn't like
you
that.
You thought he was an older guy?
I did. Well, he's
but
been
Baby
around
Billy's
a long time.
Not, has white hair, but he's not an older guy, right? In that in your other favorite show.
If you were to put me next to Baby Billy, would you say he's older or I'm older?
You.
Okay, then you have it. Maybe it's me and my inflated self of youth.
No, get used to that, Rob. I think that you're going to find that you're at the age where that's going to start happening more often than not, where you're going to find people that you have watched and you think there are lots of moments where you become aware of your age. One of the seminal moments of growing older,
mm-hmm.
back in the day, and this is pre-internet when magazines were the thing, and when the Playboy centerfolds started being younger than me.
Yeah,
that's when I started
I remember
the first feeling of that clock on the wall spinning out of control.
I can tell you where I was when I saw the first centerfold that was younger than me. It was in Pat House's dorm room.
You'd pull out the centerfold, and on the back would have the statistics.
Yeah,
on where the woman was born.
Yeah,
you know,
turn-ons, turn-offs,
what she likes, what she doesn't like, and then her date of birth. Which I thought was really kind of pervy when you really looked back.
Yeah,
right?
It,
you would look
it,
at that
it
now
is,
and go,
it,
that
and
is
even
just
like
so exploitive.
You
right?
know, even turn-ons and turn-offs is pretty weak. That's not the best thing to put in there. But that's the feeling I had with Walton Goggins. But thankfully, it wasn't a centerfold.
It was just a really weird
there's a line in The Sting, Mike.
Yeah.
There's a line in the movie The Sting where you have to take somebody, but when they're done, they can't know they've been taken. That's part of doing a proper con job. Yeah. And that's how I felt after I invested 7 hours going into the eighth hour, is that they just cheated us. That's they really haven't given us anything.
That's how I feel about the real world right now.
That we've been cheated?
I do. I mean, I know you don't obsess on things like this.
I can't, Mike, because it makes me sad. It makes me grind my teeth. It literally does.
It's hard to avoid it now, you know, where we are. And I just, you know, if you had any doubts about people rooting for an administration to fail, don't think anybody in this country right now that has anything saved at all that might be involved with the markets wouldn't wish for things to turn around. I don't know what's going to happen, and I think a lot of people don't really know what's going to happen, and it's very, very scary for a lot of people. And you have to say, at a certain point, if things do get worse,
yeah,
and it does crater, you're going to have to throw your arms up and say, either we expected a miracle and so many people were wrong, or you throw your arms up and go, what did you expect?
Precisely.
Right? Yeah. And I think the what do you expect contingent based on previous behaviors might be winning out there. It's really,
the
really
one thing, yeah,
odd.
The one thing that I have sort of still a rooting interest in is, as the world falls apart around our ears, is the people that were way in to getting him reelected, I like to see them sort of back off and say, you know what, because there's some that are right on the edge and they see the world crumbling and they say, well, maybe.
I think it comes down to the either party. The extensive articles about whether they're protesting enough. And that the protests are hollow and they're not. Yeah, I think the country, I think we have to stop teams and stop talking it in terms of teams and start framing it the country that we have lost our way.
When did it really become us against them in our own country? I feel
first,
that it was
the first election.
The first Trump election, the first. Yeah. I think it happened maybe even before that.
Even worse when Biden got elected.
Yeah, well, that emphasized it. But I think it began when Obama was elected.
Maybe you're right, if you go back all,
because it
all
was
the way
pretty,
that
was a pretty divisive issue, whether or not people wanted. Now everybody talks about racism. They're cool. But back then, they were still guarding it, I think.
But think about where we are right now. You can talk about racism. Yeah, that's your light is kind of odd there. The racism is something that doesn't affect the larger group of people. When you're talking about minorities being discriminated against, it's, I don't want to say it's totally abstract, but it is not something. I want to make sure I phrase this
carefully,
properly, because it is something when, I don't want to even say racist, let's say the immigrant issue.
Okay.
The immigrant issue for the majority of Americans is them, a small group of people that are coming into this country, and it doesn't affect everybody on a large scale. It doesn't. Whether you would like to make the argument it does or not, it doesn't. So you can compartmentalize that. And without any real empathy, you can say, well, it doesn't bother me because it's not affecting me. When you get to the economy and something that is dramatically affecting the economy in a negative way, the rules are going to change. There's no way they can't. When you're sitting there and the vast majority of people see their prices go up, their savings go down, their entitlement programs go away that they have relied on, you're going to see, I think, a shift.
Yeah.
I could be wrong with that, because right now, and by the way, the politicians, I don't put anything on them because I don't think that they respond in any other way but what is the safe way, how they are going to please their team members and get reelected. I think, and on both sides, that's the way it is. That's why they're paralyzed. Right now, they're paralyzed with fear. The Democrats are still shell-shocked over their ass kicking that they got in the most recent presidential election, and the Republicans are still worried about primaries and all of that. So with that said, I think that it's just as unsettling, and this has nothing to do with politics.
Okay.
This is as unsettled as I have been in my life when it comes to where we are financially and what is going to happen to the world financially. When I read things like we will no longer be a trading partner, or they will move on without us, or this will result in astronomical increases in prices, or you better take the pain. You know, all this stuff makes my stomach just turn.
Well, we've been through two so-called depressions in our lifetime. We weren't at the great one, but you know, there's been a couple. But I never remember.
08 was the last real.
Yeah,
you know,
I correction. Never remember it being so thick with warnings and inevitability that it's coming and that we just have to deal with it. It's scary.
See what happens. It's, I don't know. That's all.
Do
you
know that most of the garlic in the world comes from China? Garlic is going to be billions
of
dollars.
All the stuff. Where did you hear about garlic?
I was watching the Garlic Channel on.
How did you get? I have never heard that. I don't know. Really?
Yep.
That is one of their
big exports, and we're gonna feel it.
Garlic.
Yeah, and you know what? I know that Gilroy, California, loves their garlic festival.
Can you grow garlic anywhere though?
Not inside. You need.
I'm sure you can grow it inside too.
If you had the setup, you'd have to buy one of those marijuana cages.
I mean, you immediately stopped the show by making me think of. Why it would be so plentiful in China? It's not.
Well, it's an export.
Soil? Is there? Where did you hear that?
I heard it on TV. I don't know. I had it on in the background. I didn't cite.
And that perks your ears up. Like, well, you can hear economic disaster. You're not going to give a shit. But if you hear garlic, all of a sudden you turn your television up.
It perked your ears up.
It did stop me. I am. I'm curious.
I mean, think of garlic as part of many cuisines. Italian. You would need garlic.
Wow.
All of these things. And you know what? Garlic is just the tip of the iceberg. What about finger prisons?
What are you mean the Chinese finger prison? We used to have that in New York when I'd go visit my auntie. We'd go down to the magic shop, and that was always
fine. Yeah, now you get a finger prison.
In my childhood.
You know. A finger prison is 2 tickets at Chuck E. Cheese. Tomorrow it could be 10 tickets. You don't
know. That's exciting.
It is. It affects us all.
So here we are. It's just, I have to talk about it because it's unsettling.
Yes.
And we will see. We will see where we end up with all of this.
If garlic becomes.
Yeah, go ahead.
If it becomes prohibitively expensive to buy garlic, how about you and I have a garlic growing contest?
How much is a I can't say it's by the clove. What are they called? So if cloves are the individual bulbs that are inside
a
piece
bulb
of garlic.
The bulb is made of cloves.
Okay, so the bulb. How much is like an average bulb of garlic at the grocery store? Would you know that
Siri,
off the top of
what's
your head?
The average price of a bulb of garlic? Siri will do this.
All right.
Okay.
Waiting to see.
75 cents and $1.50 per individual clove.
Well, wait a minute.
I mean individual bulb. Forgive me. I misspoke. It's 75 cents to $1.50 for the bulb of garlic, the hunk. But I tend to buy the jar of the stuff that's already minced.
Because that grosses me out.
That does? Why? Yeah. It's every bit as effective.
I think I like fresh, and I got a really good garlic press, so I like the garlic.
Well, no one wants wrinkled
but
garlic.
But that's not going to be a showstopper. Even with the tariffs, that people won't notice that.
What if they tripled eggs?
It only got crazy with eggs when it got silly expensive.
People like out here, Mike, on the... do you have a neighborhood app in your neighborhood?
Yeah, they're horrible.
They're horrible, but I love going in there and messing with people. And one of the things that they put up this week is that we've got too many eggs. Come on out to Lovettsville and get our eggs. And it's so there's been the bounce back. I think that when the egg talk started, people that had the ability went out and bought chickens to make eggs to sell. And now there's, on the secondary market, an egg glut.
Okay. All right. I get that. I get that. I think that, you know, that there's an egg glut. That'll be okay. I just think that we're going to have to wait and see. So.
Bob McCarty checking in from Ireland, Mike, says, garlic in Ireland comes from Spain, and it's 99 cents for 3 bulbs. That's good bargain for garlic right there.
So garlic in Ireland
comes from Spain.
Yeah, I think they can grow garlic anywhere. I think that's the way it works. So we'll see what happens.
I've grown sage. I like to have my fresh sage.
John L. writes 60. Is that 69 cents at Giant?
Yeah.
Is that what it is? 69. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you're not going to be, you know, but I wouldn't panic about garlic just yet.
Too late.
But Timu, have you checked Timu today? Have you checked the regular prices on the MikeOMaraShow.com website and connected with Timu? Did it happen overnight or anything like that? I'm still seeing ads for it.
Oh yeah, there's plenty of ads.
You know, it's interesting.
I'm trying to bring up Timu right now to see if anything has gone up. I don't think it has. No, in my cart, my siren is still the same price. So I think we're okay. I think we're okay here, as long as you don't like garlic.
Let me see. We've got one coming in from Ben.
This is from our chat page here. And you can join us and key in and be part of the fun. What did Ben say?
I used to be the director at the FDA library. Everyone was let go there. No library at FDA, Food and Drug Administration.
Mm-hmm. Well, their books were mostly about food and drugs.
See what I'm saying? Right there, when you just see it on its surface, it's like, well, they don't need a library. I have no idea. So it's where we are. It's just so, we're all so dumb. I don't know, you know.
They don't need a library.
Really, if you said everybody was let go at the Food and Drug Administration, that means that there would be no regulations and we wouldn't check the medicines that we are taking.
Mike, I love libraries, but
Ben,
I have to close it.
Ben Hope. Interesting last name.
Wild.
Ben, please clarify, what did the FDA library do? Was that where they would do their research or their would it be an integral? I'm a dummy.
Or is it a lending library as a courtesy to FDA employees? Let's say you wanted to read Gone Girl.
Then that's fine.
Yes, you don't want
then
to go
get
out and
rid
pay,
of it.
You don't want to pay retail prices for Gone Girl. You want to go to the FDA library.
Wow. I'm reading about, we've got so many government people that that listen to this show.
Yeah, with lots of time on their hands suddenly.
My friend who's 12 years in the FDA division director was fired last week. This is the Food and Drug Administration. Mm-hmm. These are the people who regulate medicines that we take. I got to stop. It's starting to make my brain explode a little bit. It really, really is, because it's just going to... And the way most of us react is that we only really care when it bites us in the ass.
Yeah.
And this is stuff you're not going to see right away. This is stuff you're not going to pay attention
Long-term
to right
stuff.
Away.
Long-term stuff, yeah.
But I worry. I worry all the time. I really do. It's craziness, all right? The library provided the research materials, there it is,
okay.
to the all FDA right. researchers. The regulators have to question everything that the companies submit. Mm-hmm. No library means they have no access to vetted science. That is so clearly done, Ben. I sincerely appreciate that. Just add it to the list. Big Grocery, according to Rum Bailey, Big Grocery still has... You know, you say it like, you know everybody. I know you do. Big Grocery still has prices jacked up. $5.99 at Aldi's, which is usually cheaper. I would assume that's eggs.
Yeah, I would have to imagine.
Sounds like an egg price.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to like further that. This is the diversion. We're here to, talk about how bad the White Lotus was. I do feel a little bit like Walton Goggins right at the end of that, because I'm so freaked out. And this administration is his, father. By the way, one last word about White Lotus.
Yeah, yeah.
With that whole he is your father, with that absolute throwaway, we just get to throw it out there
right,
and
at the very
be
end.
Done with it. After, and no explanation why, he said she was a drunk and a slut, which
right.
is what he says about his mother. Just God damn
it. I watched the last 30 minutes of White Lotus again to see if I missed anything, and I didn't. It was just that bad. The first comment I saw on social media, because I love going to the phone as soon as the stream of... I actually watched it on HBO. I didn't stream it. I watched it when it was live. And the minute it cut off, I went to my phone and Jason Veazey said, her teeth could have blocked that bullet.
Where it just bounces off. And she ended up, believe it or not, we talked so much about the teeth, but at the end of the run,
right,
she was probably my favorite character because she was so full of love and positivity, and she was the moral compass for that show. But One thing I noticed, and I think this is where the miniseries format, which a lot of people have equated with a long feature film.
Yeah.
That's where the format can be completely and utterly self-indulgent.
Yeah.
Plot development does not have to be buttoned up. You can just let it meander, and it certainly meandered in that show.
It's there was not just courteous.
Too much.
Yeah. It's not here. Listen to me,
it's
Mike
not
White,
courteous. It's
Mike
not
White, courteous. Creator and director of The White Lotus.
Right.
You did a discourteous season of White Lotus, and you better make it up to us because we were there.
Is
we
he
were
the
there.
Only guy? I mean, there'll be other people that create it, right? Or is he the guy?
No,
every
he's
year?
The creator and the director of many. He's the
well,
one that envisioned this, and he envisioned this entire season in a fever dream, remember?
Yeah, well, I'm not optimistic if he's going to do the next one. It's going to be a little frustrating. So we're
he's going to just stay home counting his garlic.
By the way, we are not alone in panning it. A lot of people have. I haven't read many raves of that particular program, so onward and upward. It's on to
I bet Kevin McCarthy liked it. He likes most things.
But does he review miniseries or does
he'll
he
do
just
television if they drop it in his
is
lap.
Is he still on the DC station up
yep.
there?
Mm-hmm. I saw him in the afternoon yesterday. They've got a new thing on Channel 5 where they've got like a balcony on the set. So they've got anchors at the desk in the afternoon, and then they go up to Kevin, and he's like at the top of a flight of stairs. It's great.
Has DC done what they've done down here in Southwest Florida where due to the financial problems with local news, they have combined two news operations, the ABC one and the NBC one. They've done that down here where they've put them together.
One of them is Wink, right?
No, Wink is stands alone.
Good,
The two are it's the NBC and the ABC.
Isn't
it? They combined the two of them.
Gulf Network or something
like
that.
Yeah, the Gulf Network. That's exactly, or Gulf Coast Network.
Yeah,
is what it's about. I'm just wondering whether that's a trend nationally for people.
They should have called it the Gulf Channel, and that way people would mistakenly think they'd be covering golf, but it's Gulf. Yeah,
I don't know. We'll have to wait and see about that. But strange times for everybody. And as I move through this, I just wonder if we will get anything. Did you just burp again?
Just a little one, Mike.
Do you have a? Don't you have a? You have a mute button on your.
I
microphone.
Didn't think it was going to come out.
It comes out every time. You've taken to doing that regularly now with your soft drinks that you're drinking.
Well, I'm just having lemonade and water today. It shouldn't be that bad.
You sure it's water?
No.
Stop it. What are you doing? You're freaking me out.
Mike.
Don't freak me out about that.
It's water and lemonade and two bulbs of garlic.
You're drinking me. Water. You're drinking water and lemonade?
Yeah. That's my go-to. A lot of ice. And then, like, maybe a quarter cup of lemonade and then the rest water.
You don't drink one of our finest sponsors?
Every morning I do. But
like
I don't want to drink. But I don't drink over and over. I mean, I'll go through a lot of water during the show. I don't need all those electrolytes. I use those to get me started.
I love
and then
it.
The lemonade helps me maintain.
So I thought it was carbonation, so it's not.
No, we are a part of the carbon nation.
Let's see. Oh. He said, Terry Lettich writes to us that Mike White was on the Stern show yesterday and she didn't know he was on Survivor as a contestant.
Wow, Howard Stern was on Survivor?
No, Mike White was.
Oh, Mike apparently. White, you would know him if you saw him. He's done movies and he always plays sort of the same lackluster, usually like a basement of the science building, like type scientist, dull look on his face. I think he's very bright, but he tends to play that character. You would know. I think you would know him if you saw him.
Well, we'll have to wait and see that.
And if he's on Stern after the finale, that doesn't bode well for the show.
Because the continuation of it?
Yeah. You should promote it before. If you're promoting it after, it's no good.
Okay, so questions regarding the great experiment that was ridiculously purchased the dent remover and then try it on the outside. Now they said put warm water on it, so I brought it out into the
driveway.
Do you
want to see your ticky-tacky of the unboxing?
Yes, go
okay,
right ahead.
Okay, let's go to that. Here's Mike, very excited because he just got a new product in the mail.
Hello. Going to try to take some dents out of my car. Pick this up online.
You are so thin.
See what it is. So,
thank you.
It's a little dent sucker. Look at this. Hello, Minnie. Hello, Donald. Got these. Really looking forward to them.
I hate included gloves.
Got these little suction cups.
Oh, there's little guys.
Put it onto the dent. Pull it out.
Yep.
Pour hot water on it when you're doing that. Lots of different dent fixtures.
Different sizes.
Yeah, that's a big one right there.
Isn't that special?
3D.
We'll see if it works. Have no idea whether it will or not. I'll give you a full report later, and maybe I'll show you what I'm doing. But, I don't know.
You're silly.
Anyway, good luck to me.
Have you ever, you know what those suction cups could be used for, Mike? They could be used to move panes of glass. We used to have them at the furniture store. Big suction cups, because you can't really get glass and hold it. There's
no
way to
do it.
Well, that's
great. Then when I'm going down to my neighbors to install their picture window, I'll make sure I grab them.
I was just hoping that before you leave this coil, Mike, you might buy like a china cabinet. You might need to move some glass.
Just move it along. So yesterday I run hot water through the tap. I don't boil it because they said just hot water. So I put hot water in a big water pitcher that I have, and I take that out into the driveway with the bigger one of the dent remover. And I pour.
Did any neighbors see you coming out?
No, and I was really self-conscious about it. You would have thought that I was doing something nefarious because I looked left and right. I'm like, because for some reason I didn't want to have neighbors look at me doing this. Because I probably knew it was going to fail anyway.
There's that, and also I would think that some of your neighbors would say, "Doesn't he have someone that could do that for him?"
Well, I'm going to get to that in a second.
Okay.
So I pour the hot water. I try every type of configuration. It's not going. It is this bastard that cussed my kid and then drove away really did some damage where you got to catch it in the light to see the dent.
Right, right.
But it is a long, lengthy dent that is not, it didn't chip the paint or anything like that, but it's this long, lengthy dent. And I tried,
It's weird to think of a lengthy dent being
caused. It's like a seam that dent that's in there, and I wasn't able to get it out.
How are you able to get that sort of dent with just a car door that is mostly a vertical plane?
Michael would have to tell you what this guy did, but apparently it was multiple times that he slammed his door into my door. And that's what he did. So the question is, that leaves me with the dent. And I don't like having a relatively new automobile with that dent in it. It'll be on my mind. I am like you are when it comes to automobile dents, and I'm really freaked out about it. But I also am freaked out about the fact that if I was just to take that to a body shop,
right?
Would I be able to? Should I file a claim for that particular dent?
What is your deductible?
I'm not sure.
I would weigh it against the deductible, and also I think that you're looking at, even on a small dent, you're looking at $1,000 to $1,200.
So that's right there.
Yeah,
you got to do it. I have to do it. So
and you know what? I've done it. You know, something that is purely cosmetic that drives you crazy on a car, you got to get it fixed because you're going to see it every
day.
You've
answered my question. That's good. Yeah. This is why I'm glad we do this show, because I do answer serious life's questions at the same time.
Even as someone who doesn't drive. Would still bother
me. And I got a little tiny little chip out of the back bumper, the back tailgate, where it hit the garage door. And I'd like to get that fixed,
too.
Can
be touched up, or is that more of a physical
thing? I think I'll ask the people at the body shop.
They'll say, that's fixable, $2,000.
Yeah, we're going to take the entire gate off.
What you need, Mike, is a new engine. And so we're going to get that hooked up, and you'll be fine.
I will call the insurance company today. And deal with that. And that son of a bitch that not only did that to my automobile, but cussed my kid.
Yeah.
F off to an 11-year-old. God, if I'd only been able to catch him doing it, I would be in prison.
Here's the irony, Mike. The man that did that was your insurance agent.
There he is. Hi, Justin.
Oh, you know that's him by the name.
Yeah, I know his name. I know a name of the agency.
Yeah, that's my
no, that's our homeowners guy. That's the wrong guy. That's the wrong. And by the way, my insurance company helped me out when I got in that terrible totaled car wreck situation.
And it wasn't your fault. And
who is
your
insurance company, just out of curiosity? Oh, it's Progressive, right?
It's Progressive because I got knocked down, how they say, a couple pegs on the safety matter when I flipped my car.
Because you were at fault.
Well,
You were at fault. It was. Another person. My total was an at fault with her situation. Mm-hmm. The lady that I hit was the lady that was the party at fault, determined by the police.
Well, you know, because of the massive mishandling of this by the police that run the Dulles Toll Road, no fault was cited, no citation was issued.
Well,
but I still
didn't get a citation, but there was also nobody that did it to you like it was in mine. So
yeah,
they probably that affected your insurance because
well,
you were the
I
only
did
one
hit
involved.
Another per I'd hit another person, but I never was contacted ever.
That's a good thing.
I guess so. And I, well, you know what? I'm the type of guy that probably would have jotted down a license plate, except I was in concussion protocol.
And you were upside down.
I was upside down. Exactly. Every seven
so
was an
did,
L.
Do you think hitting the other car was the reason you flipped yours? You think
yes,
you
but the science, I mean, that has to be, but the science doesn't really bear it out because it is a really heavy, sturdy car, the Forester.
Yeah, but you had no idea because you were like not there. You were asleep.
That's right. I was zoned out. So I don't know if I was asleep or zoned out or what it was. It was just I woke up as I was flipping.
All right.
So became aware when I was flipping. But anyway, yes, I have Progressive and Flow. Although we did get a letter in the mail yesterday. I didn't open it. It was from our it was from our previous State Farm agent who dropped us. So I don't know
like
if he's asking
after
us.
Your accident they
yeah,
dropped
yeah,
you?
Yeah. And he's got a great name, Mike. Landy Patton.
And Landy said pound sand?
Well, I got a call from, I guess, the big guys, State Farm Nationals.
And they said, we're dropping you?
We're dropping you. So I hope that Landy has us back because I like having an agent. I don't like having Flo.
Okay, I get it. You're not a happy camper with that particular.
Well, I mean, you have to have insurance, and that was the best deal. It's just it's such a monolith. You don't get to talk to anybody. So
yeah, this is true. All right, well, they want you back, maybe.
Yeah,
so,
maybe.
We'll see with that. And I'll call my guys today, and I'll check the policy and see what happens. And, you know, just another of life's hassles that one has to deal with because of an angry guy at an effing bagel shop. Jesus.
Mike. Speaking of which, well, it's not really.
I was really. We got a promo coming up?
Yeah, we got a promo here.
I will tell you this. I was really happy at the bagel shop, but that falls through to the t-shirt. Don't get happy. Right? Happy at the bagel shop. Then I found out a guy tanked my door. Thanks a lot.
Did you get a blueberry bagel? What did you get?
Cinnamon sugar. We'll be right back.
This week's bonus show is a gas.
You burp again?
I did, man. I'm sorry.
Mike and Rob talk about buying hats and buying cars.
Does your interior smell like baseball gear?
Yeah, absolutely. It smells like Georgia red clay and socks. And I'm hanging upside down in it right now. Oh, look, I found a McDonald's French fry.
Num.
Still good.
Get that fifth hour of comedy with a bonus show subscription.
Watch the show on the buddy.
And don't forget to load up on t-shirts, hats, loud cups, and more at MikeOmaraShow.com.
Hey, focus. Baseball ready.
And remember,
you can't make a baby in the butt.
Thank
so
you.
True.
That's right. You get a lot of information at the Mike O'Mara Show all the time. Here's the problem with body care stuff.
Yeah.
It all smells so boring. Men's products need more variety. That's why I love Cremo. You deserve freedom from sweat and stink. Cremo's deodorant is designed to provide men with 48-hour odor protection. Cremo products are all barber-grade and made with pride, professionalism, and passion. To guarantee you quality without compromise, elevate your deodorant experience with Cremo's two latest signature scents, Italian Bergamot. And it's bright, it's fresh, it's robust. While Palo Santo, Jack Kent Cook's favorite.
Yes.
Palo Santo.
Yes.
Deep, smoky, and refined. Both great. Remember, deodorant isn't just for smelling good. The scent you choose sets the tone of how you present yourself. Cremo helps men make an unforgettable impression every time. I love this stuff. It's so exciting to get a partnership with a new sponsor where you love the product. I hope that they explode in popularity. That's how much I like Cremo. I wish you could smell me right now. Turn some heads with your manly aroma. Beware of armpit nuzzlers.
They're coming, Mike. They'll catch a whiff of you, and they'll be on you like white on rice.
Head to Target or Target.com to find Cremo's new line of antiperspirants and deodorants in the Italian bergamot and Palo Santo scents. Once again, that's Target or Target.com. Hit the thing, man.
You know what about Target, Mike?
What's that, Rob?
It's a good outfit.
Thanks for sharing. I appreciate that. Way to go out on a limb. That's exciting.
Yeah, thank you.
Bill Gates recently disclosed to podcaster Raj Shamani that his three kids will inherit less than 1%. Forbes estimates his worth at $101.2 billion, so a percent of that is still at least a billion.
Yeah.
His kids with ex-wife Melinda are ages 22, 25, and 28, right around the same age my kids are, except for the little guy.
Right.
Bill said, quote, "In my case, my kids got a great upbringing and education, but less than 1% of the total wealth because I decided it wouldn't be a favor to them. It's not a dynasty. I'm not asking them to run Microsoft. I want to give them a chance to have their own earnings and success. The highest calling for these resources is to go back to the neediest through the foundation." So I get it, kind of a Warren Buffett attitude there.
Yeah, but still, 1% is a billion split three ways is $333 million and change. You know what? They're going to do okay. I'd be okay with that deal. And right now, Mike, they're all still living at home. Did you know that?
You're a Gates. Act like it. Look, it's rarefied air.
It is. You know, I can't even wrap my head around it.
How are they going to deal with just a 1%?
How are they going to lose it?
And, you know, he's a big one for giving it away, and I appreciate that, and that's what he's going to do, and I think that's what a lot of these big guys do, hopefully, and I think that's the right thing to
Doesn't
do.
Doesn't he
well.
Sing your favorite Red Hot Chili Peppers song all the time?
Give it away now. Give it away, give it away, give it away now. All right, Walton Goggins, we were talking about him before. Lots of White Lotus news.
Yeah, he's
there.
A little guy, younger than me.
53 years old.
Ah, okay, I just turned 54, so we're very close.
He's been in the business for a while, but after being in the latest season of The White Lotus, he's finally getting the attention he deserves. And yes, he is aware of his female fan base. They have a name. They call themselves the Goggins Girlies. That sounds old.
It does. It sounds like from
Doesn't
the 20s. Yeah. Do you know what Walton Goggins' first on-screen role was? He played a douchey frat boy in 90210.
Really?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. He said, quote, "Do I feel this moment? I feel that there's an energy out there that is one of like this undulation of love. And that feels really, really good." He's a very cerebral dude.
Yeah.
I saw him do an interview. He was at his cabin. It seems very rustic where he lives. I think he lives maybe a little off the grid. Kind of a hippie-like guy.
No, he has a cabin, but it's in Manhattan. It's weird. It's
the right Stabbin cabin.
It's at 57th and 5th.
He said, "I'm doing the best I can to reciprocate it because it's with such affection and genuine gratitude that I have for all the support from so many people from various walks of life. I love doing what I do." Look, I completely can relate to him on that level.
Yeah.
I don't do this for any other reason than the fact that people respond to it. That's that's more important than anything. We love to raise our money. We love our sponsors. We love all the business aspects of it. But doing this every day and being able to get feedback from people every day and know that it matters is the biggest. And then Walton says at the end, "You know what? I love being an effing human being." Well, that's where we disagree.
Yeah, that's nasty. Completely. But you know what? Doing this show has allowed you to have your O'Mara girlies.
The O'Mara chicks. Yeah. I have the O'Mara chicks.
You do. And it's a better name than Goggins Girlies.
That's right. That's why any hotel room, anywhere in the country when I'm doing a live event, and in particular, the cruise, Stabbin Cabin will be open for business.
You're taking a separate cabin just for stabbing, aren't you?
Yeah, absolutely. They've been nice enough on the MSCC side to give me my own stabbing cabin. That's disgusting.
How's the lighting?
It's very dark. Almost to the point of you can't see your hand in front of your face. John Bon Jovi, a lot of haves, have-nots in the news this week.
Good guy.
John Bon Jovi and his wife, Dorothea, have opened a temporary location for their JBJ Soul Kitchen at the Ocean County Library in Toms River, New Jersey. And the mayor is not happy about it.
Toms River is unhappy because they're one bridge ride away from the beach, but they're not the beach. They're right near Seaside Park and Seaside Heights up there.
You open that JBJ Soul Kitchen and you've got a panic on the 4th of July. If you haven't heard of these Soul Kitchens, they provide meals at lower prices, and those in need can put in some hours in exchange for the food.
I saw it on CBS Sunday Morning about a year ago. It's a pretty neat outfit. There's that word again.
The outfit. The kitchen also helps people find jobs, housing, mental health support, and more. But Mayor Daniel Roderick. Now, can he sound any more like an elite? Daniel Roderick.
That's not the way we do things in Toms River.
He calls it a day shelter and soup kitchen. Well, call it whatever you want if they're helping people.
Exactly.
He says it's drawing homeless people into the area. I'm always ambivalent. If I'm having a crappy day.
Right.
And I happen to drive by somebody that's out there, I probably keep going. If I'm having a day that I'm really happy and looking forward to the day, I usually stop and roll down the window and give somebody a little something. That's the way I react. There are people that passionately react negatively to people who are homeless.
Mm-hmm.
I've always had a little trouble wrapping my head
around
that.
Mike.
Here's what he says. Mothers shouldn't have to walk through large gangs of intoxicated and mentally ill men with their children to borrow a book.
Wow.
Now, with that said, there is an area near my sister's place up in Boston, very close by, less than half a block from where she lives. And because of when you see some of the people who are obviously under the influence of something,
right,
of some substance, it can be freaky as S. And it's a place that people go for, I think, drug treatment. Now, that's different than just serving meals. But do you really think that they are running a gauntlet of people that are intoxicated and mentally ill? I mean,
I think it's great that Kathy was able to find a place so close to her clinic.
Yeah, it's exciting. It's very nice.
And thank you to Sharon Bailey Shea-Bay sending us a 1999 super chat. Because
you,
she
couldn't
make our cocktail party. Thank you,
in response, John and Dorothea said, quote, "We invite anyone to the JBJ Soul Kitchen pop-up to see what we are doing to end homelessness and hunger in our community." And that is what I would do if I lived in the neighborhood.
Here, here.
I would go down there to see what it's all about and see what they're doing. Look, it's a problem we have all over this country. And a lot of people like to bitch about it. People in Seattle, people in San Francisco, people in major cities all across the country, but nobody's really come up with any way. And it's not like these people are going away. We have to do something if you're a human being, right? I mean, that's the way I look at it. So at least he's trying to do something
for
people.
Yeah, it's not something we can sweep under the carpet. This is right and in our face. And you know what? If you're getting these people to work and to eat and to, it could be the first step to not being a blight, as you would probably call them.
Well, getting the jobs, that applies to that. Now, speaking of food, Fox News just did a big story on how restaurants are offering seafood towers. Wrong. They are now, because of the price, offering hot dog towers.
Hot dog.
Because seafood is expensive and times are tough. Now, when I first heard this, it did not appeal to me. When I saw it, I said, you know, bite me off a piece of that. You've got some video of the seafood,
check this out.
Hot dog tower.
It's thrilling. Mike, it appears that it's a three-tiered tower. Like
those
you would
are
get
fries
as a seafood
on the
tower.
Second tower?
Fries with some sort of cheese topping. Your sauce is on top, and at the bottom it looks like maybe six hot dogs and buns. Hot dog. I'm thrilled with this. I think it looks fantastic.
I would do it a little differently where I would not garnish the hot dogs. I would leave
them plain. I thought that was weak.
So that the sauce is up on top. But putting the fries on the second layer for a bunch of people to come out, you can eat. I'm all in. I'm all in on the hot dog tower.
Hot dog.
There's a joint in South Carolina. It's called Sir Wiener's. It's taking responsibility for the trend. They partnered with an upscale place called Lamar's last fall and added a hot dog tower to the menu. I love it. I'd order it.
Is Sir Wiener an actual subject of the British monarchy?
No, Sir Wiener's is the name of the hot dog joint, but it's also probably my nickname at American University.
Oh, that explains it. Very good.
Yeah, it's Sir Wiener's Stabbing Cabin. That's what it'll be called on the boat. Sir Wiener, the owner of Sir Wiener's, says people love it because it's
Bob
over
Wiener.
The top. Bob Wiener. And it's the perfect mix of ridiculous and delicious. See, I like it. It's fun. That's it what is. It is.
Yeah, and hot
In
dogs are great.
In these tough times, we need hot dog towers, ladies and gentlemen. This is always a list that I bring you. I know it's a list, but deal with it. Uber released its annual Lost and Found Index that looks at all the stuff left behind in ride shares last year. There is a list of 50 of them. I'm going to give you the top 10. The most common things that we forget in an Uber, the usual suspects, phone, wallet, keys, luggage, headphones, human body, human head. No.
Your dignity.
Let's see. Here are some weird ones. You ready? Number 10?
10.
An aquarium.
Now, would it be filled, or is it just like the glass box?
I doubt it would be filled.
It'd be too heavy, wouldn't it?
It's just an aquarium you bought at a store to take home and put
in. In that case, it could also be a terrarium. You don't know what it's destined for.
Number 9, 15 hookahs. That's a lot of hookahs.
Yeah, it is. That makes me think of Rob Ford.
It's the smoking hookahs.
The smoking hookah,
Not a bunch of sex workers.
No, and not Johnny Lee hookah.
Number 8, how do you get this in an Uber? 2 mattresses. And then you leave it behind? I'm wondering about. Now, right there, credibility kind of went out the window. Okay?
I would imagine they were tied to the roof of the Uber, which
Number
is how people move mattresses. Yeah.
It's a witch's broom. Witch's broom. Uber says the Saturday before Halloween was their most forgetful day last year. They had the most stuff left behind in the Uber.
It's a sad thing that the lady left behind her broom. That's why she needed the Uber, because she couldn't travel by broom if she didn't have it.
Precisely.
Yeah.
You know, take the Uber to the party. Fly home. Number 6, Shrek ears. Number 5, a urinal. I guess one of those little urinals that you like stand over, the ladies' urinal or something.
No,
like
I would think it would be like the...
Oh, a urinal like the bottle that you have.
Yeah, the bottle. Yeah, the one that I have, Mike.
Can you imagine that? Under the desk right now.
Yeah, exactly. You know what? Not like a metal bedpan either from the 1930s.
Number 4 is a turtle. Number 3, a chainsaw. Number 2, a Viking drinking horn.
I would
and,
not leave that.
Here's the weird one and the scary one. I saved that for last. Number 1, a mannequin head with human hair clories.
No. I don't like mannequins no thanks.
Imagine if somebody identified in a mannequin with human hair, that would freak you out even more.
Yeah, I wouldn't care for that.
Finally, today, a study led by researchers from the Florida State University College of Medicine found a surprising potential downside of getting married. It may significantly increase your risk of dementia. Now, this applies when I think about our box store that we like so bad. You ever see the ladies, the dads with their mommy walking out, like being led around with their mouths agape? It says never married individuals are also more likely to socialize with friends and neighbors and are more likely to engage in healthier behaviors than their married counterparts. Now, I see a contradiction here. I totally agree that if you're single, you're going to be out and engaging with people and be active in your neighborhood. My buddy Ole is a great example.
Has he ever been married?
He's divorced. He has a revolving door of friends in and out. He is socializing constantly. So that falls into that. But healthier behaviors... when you're socializing a lot, you kind of do the hooch a lot, too, and that's not all that healthy, as you can testify.
I know you and I don't have many friends, but when you see someone like Ole that has constant influx and outflux of friends...
Knows everybody by name, knows everybody there.
Doesn't that seem sort of like a burden?
Tremendous burden to me.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, I'm somebody that when there's like a social event on the calendar, I kind of go...
Is there anything better that the person you've made plans with when they call you and cancel? It's great.
We're so similar, but we're going to die alone.
I know. Well, no, we're going to be like the end of Stan and Ollie.
Yeah, exactly. Same way. Cold in a bed.
Yes, laying together.
Gray. Anyway, now other studies have shown that being married may protect against dementia. That's true. There have been other studies say the complete opposite.
Yeah.
So why the confusion? Variations in the size and diversity of samples, as well as accommodations for different risk factors, might help explain it. But this is clearly a complex issue. They also didn't consider the fact that married men simply tune out the world after multiple years of marriage.
It's true. It is true.
Well, you know, if you're in the danger zone, you'll forget this article by lunchtime.
Oh,
anyway,
stop it. That's horrible.
Hello, yes, mommy. I can't stand it when I see that. The couples everywhere.
Yeah.
Go out.
Thank you, Chris Arnold, for the super chat, Mike. Chris Arnold bought you a hot dog tower the next time you're down in that region.
Hot dog. We'll take a break, and we will come back with sex injuries.
Oh.
I can't wait.
Oh, my.
Sex injuries. Yay. Hey, we have a letter from Carla in Florida. It reads, Dear Casey, here's the question. How can I help you age better? Do you need to lose lots of weight? Do you need to lose 5 to 10 pounds? Do you need better sleep? Do you need more energy? Do you want help with anti-aging?
You will not age. Yes.
Do you need help with brain fog? Do you need better hormone balance? How about better hair, skin, and nails? What about reducing your inflammation?
Yes.
Do you need better gut health? Do you need How about making those workouts really count by upping your performance optimizations? How about improving your mood or having enhanced libido? Peptides are the future. I'm here to help you. P.S. Oh, this is Carla talking.
Yes, she's still talking, yeah.
My Carla says, my inbox is always open. Hey.
Now, you know what she means.
Calm down. Make sure to check out DermGlowSkin.com. Payment options include Klarna, HSS, FSA, and PayPal.
So isn't Klarna the best Irish pay system?
Welcome to Klarna. Just Klarna me your money. I'll be fine. So you can buy now and pay later. It's time to try some Term Glow, making the best you that you can be, inside and out. Start your transformation today at DermGlowSkin.com. I'm Mike O'Mara, and I love you all very much. Rob writes these, in case you didn't know, and if you were living under a rock, you wouldn't know that. But
Mike, it's never a lie. You do love them.
I do. I love you.
You love them so much.
I do. Everybody. Right. That's true. You know, sometimes when I read the simple comments from the comments, and John L. writes, many more homeless to come. Thanks, John.
Thanks, John, for the
pick-me-up. That put me in a better frame of mind. That's awesome.
Chevy Chase says in Vegas Vacation, thanks for the pick-me-up, Eddie.
I told the story on this very podcast, I believe, about a coworker of mine who was, how shall we say, vigorous.
Yeah.
When it came to the act of love.
Okay.
She had a reputation for very violent thrusts. Don't ask me how I knew that. I'd have to probably give names.
Was she a coworker?
She was at a time. Now, see, when you ask too many of your detective questions.
No, you've had many jobs, Mike.
I'd rather not say.
All right. That's fine.
Let's just say another person who I worked with. Had connubial relations
fulfillment.
And complained of the violence at which the act was done. And
okay,
then,
I will not detect, but I will have a question for you once the mics go dark, because I have a guess.
Oh, ask it now. Go ahead. No. Don't mention names. Don't mention names.
No, of course not. And that is why I will wait until after the program to venture my guess.
You wouldn't know. It was before your time, long before your
time. All right, because I've been with you a long time. I've heard a lot of stories.
Long after I left this place of employment, a person made me aware of a medical call, a 911 call.
Oh, no.
That was made, and apparently in the zeal of the act, the man's thing was broken. And he was on his front lawn, naked and afraid.
Wow. That happens to be number 9 on our list, Mike.
The ruptured, fractured.
Yeah, the most common sex-related injuries. This is from the popular website, Mike. I know you live there. It's called Love Honey.
Love Honey is, I have been a subscriber to Love Honey since the 1960s.
It used to be a newsletter, didn't it?
Love Honey.
Yeah, it would come on a ditto.
All right, if you want to know the truth, it's not related at all. I worked at a newspaper in the early 1970s, and it was my advice column.
Love honey.
Yeah, love honey. I was honey.
And
I was
also,
a guy.
Now you
knew
can
that I was a guy.
Now you can reveal who the lady with the violent thrusting was. It was Catherine Graham.
Catherine Graham. Yep.
Katie. When you were working at the Post.
Love honey.
All right, Mike, just some takeaways from this article that I would like you to comment and react to.
All right.
The most hazardous position for injury is?
Cowboy.
Doggy style.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't think that. I think that would
well,
be.
Well, and no explanation given? That would probably be a little too graphic.
No, but yeah, I would think that cowboy
I would tell you
the reverse.
This is how I think an injury could happen.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of these injuries are probably to the man, not the woman, correct?
I wouldn't say that. I think they're probably there's one that's definitely not a man.
Okay.
We'll go through them in a second.
With that particular act, doing it that way, you would have where you came out of the in total. There's no way I can make this clean.
I understand. Bad target practice?
Yeah.
Yeah, that would do it.
Like
that
when
would
you
do
take
it.
the missile completely out of the silo.
People talk about silos a lot nowadays, Mike.
Yes, very much.
Of people that have admitted to experiencing some kind of injury while either giving or receiving that special favor.
Yes.
Do you think more men have been injured or more women have been injured?
I would say more men.
You're right. 24% of men admitted to experiencing an injury.
Don't bite the hand that feeds you.
And only 16% of women.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I think you're right. I think you're right.
And by the way, interesting that all of those injuries occurred with that actress from the White Lotus.
With the teeth?
I'm so sorry. Yes, with the teeth, dummy. You didn't need to punctuate it. Move on, please. Thank you very much.
All right, I'm only going to give you the highlights. At number 12, Mike... 2% have reported to suffering a broken bone.
Yeah,
while
okay.
Love.
Okay. This guy complained of soreness on his bone. You know, down there where
we get a more specific.
It's the pubic bone.
So isolate that.
This is an interesting program.
What is it? It's the pubic bone.
That's
Mike,
what he said. It was sore.
At number 9, that was 2% for the broken bone. Tied at 3%, three-way tie here, penis fracture, broken penis, or perhaps the best 3%, stuck foreign object.
I get it.
We've seen x-rays.
And also that can be any number of places, too.
Sure.
More likely not to come back if an object is put, you know, down there, you know, in the other door. All right.
It's this the pubic bone.
This has probably got to be, get the kids away from me.
Yeah, CBS wouldn't
right
let
now.
Us do this list, Mike.
No, not at all. But that's usually, we have seen videos. Bowling trophy.
Oh, I remember.
That was a line from an actual ER episode.
Yeah, that was ER. The one that really impressed me the most was a jar of Grey Poupon that we saw an x-ray for, because you recognize
the distinctive
the shape of the
jar.
And you go up to that guy and you say, pardon me.
Pardon me. And he's like, all right.
A tie at number 7, both with 5%, Mike.
This whole subject is making me squint.
I don't understand why it would be. 5% reported either hemorrhoids or an anal tear.
Yeah. You ever think about Dennis? No, I'm not. I'm sorry.
Stop. No, I don't.
Not going to do this.
All right. And Mike. Up from 5% for the anal tear, 11% have reported a vaginal tear.
Yeah, I've heard of that injury.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard of that. Yeah,
sure.
It's a very, very disturbing. And, I think a lot of these injuries would be a result of too vigorous in lovemaking.
And how would Larry King say that?
I think he's too vigorous.
I don't foresee Larry as being a vigorous
lover. There are physics involved. I mean, really.
Yeah, there are.
I watch films.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I mean, I sometimes wonder how that's accomplished in the first place.
Yeah. Anyone who took just the most basic version of geometry knows about angles. Mike, number 5, 16% have reported a back injury.
I certainly understand that. You're engaging in a lying down thing that can be, or standing up. But yeah, it can hurt.
And lifting, if you do some lifting, it'll hurt you. You got to lift with your
like
knees,
you do,
Mike.
Like yeah. you do with Gary.
Well, Mike, the lifting is me. I have to lift myself. That's how I injured my back.
Very exciting.
Number four, and Mike, you know what? We've discussed this on the show before. You might know it as honeymoon cystitis. It is a UTI, a urinary tract infection, usually suffered by a lady that has had lots of sex or vigorous sex following a dry spell. And I believe for some reason I associate it somehow with Wendell Hall.
Ew. He's not around to defend himself anymore.
No, I know, but we did fly him out to the ranch.
And did he get an infection?
No, but I believe his lady that he was with eventually got one because he was having too much sex with her. I don't know how I can, but I do know this.
You right now, between the cast of characters and what you're describing, I am no longer even opening my eyes. My eyes are completely closed.
Don't
right
you
now.
Remember when Wendell came back?
I want to move past it for the love of Christ.
He said it was good. Sex and steak.
Oh, God.
Number 30, Mike, at number
how
three.
How are you, Wendell? Do you remember the line? Do you remember the line, how are you, Wendell? Do you remember? I do. You just brought it up, and I remember the line. You know what he said? This
what?
Is the quote.
What?
I'm tired and sore. Wanted me to throw up.
I loved Wendell. He was so great. Number three, pulled muscle. 39% have
same
pulled a muscle.
Same thing as a back injury.
I Mike. Think so. Mike, number two, 54% have ended up with bruises.
Well, that's, if you really like the rough stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
Which, of course, I do.
I remember one time, Mike, we caught you having sex on an icy street.
Yeah.
And you fell.
Absolutely. Fell, injured myself, and then bounced right back up and said, please, ma'am, may I have another?
Mike, so that leads me to number one.
Numero uno. I'm ready.
65% have suffered this because of sex at one point. Do you have a guess? It's not that.
No.
And it wouldn't be caused by that. That would be one of the tears, I think.
Yeah. I'll tell you one thing I'd never say.
What's that?
Quitter.
You might be a quitter after number one.
How many?
Mike, 65%
VD.
No, and I don't think that counts as an injury.
Oh, okay. An injury. Oh, an injury. Oh, hold on.
Yeah. At 65 would be high percentage for VD.
Rug burn.
Mike, you win.
Did I get it?
Carpet burns.
Yes. Yay.
Mike,
you
are a very, very
Rick
smart
Schofield
man.
Rick Schofield wrote Broken Hot Dog Tower. That's funny, Rick. I appreciate it.
But anyway,
that.
Be careful, Mike,
yes.
when you're prancing around Venus's garden.
Oh, my God. I don't know if I'm ever going to get over this. We'll take a break, ladies and gentlemen. And when we come back, the dishes.
Oh, good. I love talking about the dishes.
Hey, caffeine lovers, bet you're almost out of your initial bag of Charlie's Choice coffee. Well, guess what? It's still a thing, and it's awesome. And you can reorder or subscribe for some more right now.
When?
Right now.
Thank you.
We all know you got to have coffee, so we want to give you the best. Have a nice, fresh cup of Charlie. Charlie's Choice! is available in whole bean or fresh ground. Get a one-time order or save money with a subscription and get our exclusive Charlie's Choice blend.
Charlie's Choice!
Delivered right to your door, this premium medium roast blend combines a rich and balanced cup with a smooth caramel, deep cocoa, and sweet honey tasting notes. It's the best and freshest coffee you can find. We craft it in small batches and roast it to order in St. Augustine, Florida. Every bag is fresh and full of flavor because great coffee should never be a gamble. Each package is marked with its roast date, so you know you're getting the freshest brew possible. I'm not a coffee expert, but I believe the roasting makes it the flavor mellow and makes it delicious.
That's a wonderful
flavor.
That's a lovely thing that you said, Mike. It's mellow and yet robust. I mean, you're tasting it, but it's not oppressive. It doesn't have acidity or bitterness. It's just delicious coffee.
So support small business and enjoy a cup of Charlie today. It's almost heaven. West Virginia. Get yours at the TMOS store at MichaelMaraShow.com. Start your day right with Charlie's Choice.
Charlie's Choice!
killing me. Because it's good to the last
sip. It's good to the last sip.
That's the one you had ready to go, right?
Yeah,
hot, steaming Charlie. It tastes good like good coffee should. Yeah.
Like good coffee should.
Where I where I'm similar to Mr. Spiewak in my my organization of my home,
right.
not a lot of areas, but when it comes to the dishes, the kitchen, that is my world.
Yeah.
As you know, Monday I had a bit of a day.
Yes.
And Tuesday I was a bit neglectful of the dishes, which is normally taken care of by me either late at night or first thing in the morning.
Dishes is one of the first things. If you're having yourself a day or you're in a mood or you're just not quite yourself, dishes are an easy thing to write off because, A, you in your heart of hearts, you hope someone else will do it because they're there for everyone to see.
When dishes get to this point,
yeah,
you've got to reevaluate your kitchen organization. My son is quite an aficionado of the kitchen. He likes to go
he
in
likes
and
to cook.
Make
yeah.
He likes to cook. He likes to make batter. He likes to fry himself eggs. Don't you say anything.
I love that you bring up batter because
he likes to make pancakes. He really does. That's what I wanted to say. And he made some scrambled eggs, and then on top of the scrambled eggs, because Mrs. O'Mara put dishes on top, and I guess the scrambled eggs did not come out to his liking because there was this, what I didn't realize, a significant amount of them in the left sink. I have one of those kitchen sinks that are divided. And
is your disposal in the left sink or the right sink?
It's in the right sink.
So he put the discarded eggs in the non-disposal side of your sink.
Yes, that too. Yes. Throw that in there. And what is in there is a trap that you remove.
It's a trap.
But nothing goes down in that trap that it isn't liquid.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And I walk in and I noticed a little something. And I said, you know, it could be the trash. That's what I really thought.
Yeah, oftentimes
and
it is.
I've got a very, very active olfactory sense. I'm very aware, and I can track down odors very,
very
easily.
You've got a great snoot. You do.
Yes, it's why I was used in the correction system as a guide for many, many years. I don't
a guide you were. Oh, are you getting a call?
Wait. Oh, you said thank you. Did you text during the show?
Well, she sent me a nice text, so I said thank you during the Charlie spot.
Oh, love the coffee music, she said. Oh,
yeah.
That's nice. All right, you two, get a room. Anyway, that's my wife speaking.
Really?
Mr. Spiewak. No, shut up. Anyway.
Because I've got hotels.com,
shut up.
Tamago, all
shut
those.
The hell. All right, so Carla comes in from work. I am sitting in my usual Archie Bunker chair, and she walks in the door. I said, "What is that?" I said, "I know. There's something."
Did you first say you'll excuse the absence of light?
You pardon the absence of light. I so very much conquered my fear. Anyway, at this point, I get up, and I bloodhound it. I start tracking it down.
Yeah.
I go to the garbage, nose in, nothing. Not a thing. At this point, Carla says, "Was that shrimp that you saved for me from Costco the other day?" I said, "You didn't eat that?" She said, "No." I said, "You have to eat that like right away."
Yeah.
Well, she threw it out, but apparently went out with yesterday's garbage.
Okay.
So that's not the problem.
Off the hook. Shrimp or innocent.
Then I go over to the sink. I sniff the right side of the sink, and then I sniff the left side. Nothing. I lift up a pan, and at that particular moment, you should have brought in the flipping cadaver dogs.
Oh, no.
It was horrible. I am not kidding you. I lift up this pan and I go to the little dream catcher down on the bottom side. And I'm like, oh, my God. So much so that I took it out, walked over to my wife. I said, "Smell this." And both my wife and kid are going, "Hey, you two little dishwasher ignorers, this is it."
When you made them smell it, was that even undercurrent of making them pay for what they did?
I did want to make them pay, but I understood nobody would want. The bottom line here, this is for anybody, when you're using the kitchen, clean as you go.
Yes.
Clean as you go. At the very least, clean up after dinner. Please don't do that.
Clean as you go. I've run a commercial kitchen, Mike.
Yes.
You must clean as you go.
The bacteria can be fatal, Rob Spiewak.
They can kill you. And also, you know what? A totally dirty kitchen that has not been cleaned is daunting. If you clean as you go, you're fine.
Right on.
One of my greatest cooking victories is when I took the turkey out of the oven last Thanksgiving. My sink was empty and my dishwasher was empty. I had run an entire cycle before dinner, and it makes cleanup so easy. And if you get to the point,
bitch can clean.
Hey, bitch can cook.
There you go. Good for you. Congratulations.
Well, you know.
Yeah, we got to move on. All right, come on, let's
Mike,
go. All right.
He's got to be, you know what? If nothing else, the first step for him, teach him to scrape his plate.
Scrape your plate.
That's what you got to do, man. Just scrape it, baby.
Yeah, there's a term, scraping the plate, that also results in some of those injuries you were talking about earlier. We'll take a break, come back. A very brief segment of beautiful video today because, shocker.
But all of it great, Mike. All of it great.
Isn't this great?
Isn't it?
We'll be right back with beautiful video. You, ladies and gentlemen, have the distinct honor, privilege, and delight of listening to the Mike O'Mara Show. Whoa, 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 whoa. Scrape your plate.
Scrape
it. Sometimes when I am at my sleepiest, I can't get to sleep. Weird, right? God, I had a great night last night.
It's great.
Today's episode of this podcast, sponsored by Soul. The team at Soul just launched their new out-of-office nightcap gummies. They're similar to their world-famous sleep gummies, but nightcap gummies have 3 milligrams of THC for people who require something a little stronger to go to sleep. THC and melatonin in Soul's nightcap gummies work together to promote deep, restorative sleep. How? Well, THC helps you go to sleep faster and stay asleep longer. The melatonin signals to your body that it's time to sleep. And Soul's out-of-office nightcap gummies also contain CBN and CBD, so you sleep deeply and wake up without feeling groggy. Plus, if you want to treat yourself, crack open a cold out-of-office sparkling THC beverage.
So good. Oh, my
Delicious
God.
And relaxing. Be like Rob. Subscribe to these wonderful little potions and candies. They really work, and I love them, too. Hit snooze on crap. Happy sleep and prepare for a great night. Go to GetSoul.com and use code TMOS for 30% off your order. That's 30% off your orders using code TMOS. That's GetSoul.com and code TMOS for 30% off. Don't sleep on this offer.
Wow.
Get it? I make pun. There you go, everybody.
Hey, I like that.
I
Some
make
beautiful
pun.
Video.
I make
Jerry
pun.
Time.
Super Radio.
Dixie 1260 Super Radio.
And just a quick added value for all you listeners. This is the out-of-office drops, the oil, and it's fantastic.
These are the out-of-office drops?
Well, if they're
or
drops.
This is the bottle of drops.
This is the bottle of drops. I guess if right. I said drops, it was still right, but not appropriate.
Right.
But anyway, these are amazing. This is amazing, and I subscribe to it, and I'm not on it right now, but soon. Mike?
Yeah.
Come back.
Come on, man.
Come on.
Come on.
Hey,
go.
Man. Come on. Yeah, come on Ryan man. Seacrest, I do not look at the new Wheel of Fortune because I don't need any more Ryan in my life. I was full of Ryan
you can't
with
be
Idol.
You can't be alone. We can't be the only two people that feel the same way, where it's just not that Pat Sajak was any kind of icon, but it's like a comfortable shoe. There's
yeah.
something too Ryan-y where he doesn't fit.
But this moment was going viral last night, and I kind of like it because he really commits. And also, Sajak would never do this in a million years, and you can
okay.
tell.
So you maybe came around on him a little
no,
bit?
No, it's
might
just,
take a
this
peek?
Is just this is just a moment. If
okay.
there's a couple moments, I mean, but I like that Vanna looks totally overwhelmed because something unexpected happened.
Not hard to do.
My new favorite festival, it's called Gloucestershire Cheese Rolling Festival in the UK. Participants race down a hill chasing after a wheel of cheese, but in the end, you get the cheese. So what could be better?
You ready to try it?
I was born for this.
Here we go.
Okay.
He's okay.
Yeah. And then Vanna got thinner.
And her head got bigger. But don't you think that Vanna was totally taken by something that wasn't something that happened every night for 30 years?
No.
She was. That wasn't her acting.
Yeah, she was acting. Come on.
Wow, she could have done episodes.
She knew what he was going to do. It's not like anything isn't staged on that show. By the way, you want a game show, go out to that Gloucestershire Cheese Festival,
which I watch every
single year.
Yeah.
That is spectacular. And broken knees, broken femurs, much fun.
And also, you have cheese as one of your alert words on YouTube, so you always know when it pops up.
Yeah, anything cheese pops right up on my feed. Very exciting. I love that. I love that thing. They are really, it's the same hill. They've used it for a long, long time. I have no idea. It might even be 100 years they've used this thing, and it's great to watch. And they commit. It's beautiful.
It really is. Dateline Florida, Mike. Is there anything more beautiful than the tradition of taking your kids to the mall to visit the Easter Bunny?
It's a beautiful thing, isn't it?
Beautiful
thing, yes.
Yeah, in Florida, it just went wrong. And I'll just say it before I pop the clip. This guy.
I'm Chris Safadi. The worker who was in costume works at the Coastline Center Mall in Naples.
Hold on. You know him?
It's our guy.
Yeah,
it's Fort Myers.
It's Wink News.
That's fine. That's Lois and Kendall.
Kendall.
Her name's Lois.
Lois seems nice. Kendall looks a little like Marvin Hamlish.
He has been at it quite a while, as you can tell.
And still in the Fort Myers market.
Good for him. I drive by that condo complex every day to take my kid to school. That's Fort Myers. Look at me. I'm such a rube. I get all excited because they show an anchor. All right, show the Easter Bunny clip.
Okay, Mike, it's bad for the Easter Bunny.
Taylor Wirtz joins us live there now. Taylor, how's the worker doing, first of all?
Chris, Lois, police say she's shaking up, but is physically doing okay. And meanwhile, shoppers here at the Coastline Center Mall are just trying to wrap their heads around why someone would want to do this to someone just trying to bring joy to others.
For many families, taking photos with the Easter Bunny is a time-honored tradition.
It's pictures that are going to go on loved ones' refrigerators and things like that, you know, to mark as these children grow up.
But the person dressed as the bunny at the Coastline Center Mall, a 24-year-old woman, encountered some bad eggs Sunday when Naples police says three juveniles, aged 13 and 14 years old, attacked her on the job.
Following her back to where her staging area is, tugging on her, pushing on her, pulling on, trying to pull the costume apart.
Lieutenant Brian McGinn says the woman is physically okay, but is shaken up by the whole thing.
Yeah, what happens, you get shaken up when teens
attack you. Is it just me watching too much Dateline, or would it be okay to take a look at the video and see really what was done, since she wasn't really harmed?
Don't
you think maybe with the reporter reporting that like it's murder?
Don't you think that Wink doesn't have the budget to do a recreation?
Right. Yeah.
It would be great.
But really,
Get Lois's kids. They're probably the right age to reenact attacking of the bunny.
I don't know. I'd like more information. I really would. That it was before she was really attacked.
It's in your backyard.
It is. I'll go down to the Coastal Mall today. Thank you.
With your police hat?
Yes. Yeah. My old fashioned police hat.
Oh, like a London Bobby's hat?
No, a regular like city police hat, and I'll do an Irish accent. It's like an old movie. Hello, Clancy.
Let's close with this. Gone are the days of watching play-by-play with greats like Vin Scully and Joe Garagiola, who probably is not remembered nowadays, but he was a catcher, and he had
more famous for being a broadcaster though.
Yeah,
after his playing days,
he hosted the Tonight Show. He was the spokesman for cars. He had a very stupid car commercial, but anyway, this is him with Vin Scully. I don't think you could find better pair in the booth. And Vin is talking about the art of catching. We close with this.
Kneecap in 1984. He was struck on the side of the head by Dave Winfield's bat. I don't know how anybody ever catches.
It's not that tough a position. It really is.
I guess, and I don't mean to put them down either, but why does someone take up the bass fiddle or the tuba? I guess they're frustrated catchers.
Well, you can go back to the neighborhood, Vin. I mean, you fell into a pattern. The fat kid was always the catcher. You know that. The left-hander was the first baseman. The kid that couldn't play, you tried to stick him in right field. And that's how you start.
That's it, Mike.
As true today as it was back then. Absolutely. However, you know, my son catches, but he also pitches and plays shortstop. So
I think I think baseball now focuses a little more on overall health.
I think so. in general, but I'll tell you, that right field thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's where you put the kid.
I played a lot of right field in school.
Doesn't surprise me, but that's another day. We got to get out of here. Thank you very much for joining us. Don't forget, go to MichaelMaraShow.com and check out our cruise. We are selling cabins, and that'll go all the way through mid-May.
Get them now,
though. Get your cabin as soon as you can. We would appreciate it. Just a small down payment. They have a payment plan for you as well if you want to do it that way. We'd love to see you on the TMOS Love Boat Cruise. For Rob Spiewak and Josh Soroka, having a colonoscopy today.
Feel better, Josh.
Mike O'Mara saying so long, everybody.
So long, folk.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
You know, I get used to that screen going.
I'm sorry. I can give it to you. There you go.
Hey, there you go.
Sorry about that.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.